الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله والصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحبك يا نور الله. Please also repeat after me. نويت سنة الاعتكاف. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madrasa Channel, whenever you are blessed with an opportunity to enter the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, always try and enter according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This intention, you can make it in any language. You can make it in English, in Urdu, in Punjabi, in Potwari, or you can make it in your heart. You know, but we made the intention in Arabic. But by making this intention for the duration that you spend in the masjid, it will be written in your record of deeds that you spent that time in Nafli Itikaf. May I remind you to eat and drink and sleep in the masjid is forbidden. But if you make this intention, then all of these things become allowable for you and you get the reward as well. So small amount of effort, but a huge amount of reward. There are also many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to have said, O people, undoubtedly, on the Day of Judgment, the person who will attain salvation from its dangers and accountability will be the one amongst you who would have recited Durood-e Pak abundantly upon me in this world. Sallu ala al-Habib ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear Islam brothers, we need to make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By coming to the weekly ishtamas, alhamdulillah, you get the habit of reciting Durood-e Pak. We need to make a habit in our day-to-day routines that we send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are many wonders in Bani Israel. So tell people about them, and there is no harm in telling them. And if I were to tell you the story of two old women, you will surely be astonished. The companion said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please tell us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person from Bani Israel, he would love his wife very much. Both the husband and wife, the mothers were old. And in both of these cases, both of the mothers were blind. So the blind old mothers would live with them as well. And the mother of the husband was a good-natured, righteous, and truthful woman. Whereas the character of the mother of the wife was extremely bad. She would incite her daughter against the mother of her husband. Finally, one day, the wife told her husband that she would not be happy with him until he would get his mother away from the house. So the wife told her husband that I'm not going to be happy with you until you make this woman, the mother, your mother, leave the house. So this person, because he loved his wife so much, he picked up his mother and left her in a faraway jungle where there were beasts and animals there, thinking that these beasts and animals would eat his mother. In the evening, his mother was sat there, and his mother didn't know where she was. She was in the middle of the jungle. She didn't know that she was, you know, these animals were around her. In the middle of the evening, she heard these sounds around her of animals. And an angel came and asked a question from this old woman. She said, the angel said to her, what kind of sounds are these which I am listening to around you? What are these sounds that you can hear? The old woman replied that these are good sounds. They are the sounds of cows, they are the sounds of camels, they are sounds of goats. The angel made dua for her by saying that it should be good. Having said this, it left. In the morning, the whole valley was full of camels, cows, and goats. Allahu Akbar. On the other hand, his son thought that, you know, I'll go and see what has happened to my mother. So he came to see what had happened to his mother, and when he came there, he said that all these, he could see that the whole valley was full of cows, camels and goats. And he said to his mother, how is this possible? And his mother replied, oh my son, all this is the sustenance and bestowal from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Whereas in my matter, you pleased your wife by disobeying me. Having heard this, the son, he repented. He picked up his blind mother and he took her home. And when taking her home, he also drove the blessings home. He also made signs so that the camels would follow him, the goats would follow him, the sheep would follow him. And so they all went home. When he got home, his wife saw this. His wife saw that, you know, all these blessings have come with him. And because she was greedy, she said to her husband, Take my mum to the same place there and leave my mother there so that hopefully she will get the same blessings. Allahu Akbar. So the son took his wife's mother now to the jungle and left her there. And when he left her there, again in the middle of the night, the sounds of animals were around her. And the angel who Allah Azza wa Jalla sent to the old mother of the husband came to her. And the angel asked her, old woman, what kinds of sounds are these which I am listening to from your surrounding? She replied, these are very bad sounds. By Allah Azza wa Jalla, I am feeling terror here. These are the sounds of beasts of prey. They will eat me. The angel said, bad things such happen. Having said this, the angel left. The beasts of prey attacked her and killed her by tearing her to pieces. In the morning, his greedy wife told him to go and see what happened to her mother. Her husband went to the jungle to know what had happened to her mother. When he reached the jungle, he found the bones of his old mother-in-law. After picking up the bones, he returned home. When he told the state of his greedy wife's mother, she was extremely grieved. The husband picked up the bones of the old woman in a shawl and placed them in front of her daughter. The greedy woman was consumed by the grief at the death of her mother and also passed away. Allahu Akbar. My dear Islam brothers, greed, hirs, lalach, it is a curse. Greed can make a person blind. When a person has greed, he cannot see what is right and what is wrong. Greed hides your wisdom. Divine fear gets out to the heart due to the curse of greed. Due to greed, a person becomes the enemy of his relatives. How many times have we seen people fall out with their relatives over money, over greed for money? You see two brothers fighting over a patch of land. Yeah, this is my land, this is my land. And they'll take the brothers to court. And for many, many years, they'll spend more money on court fees than the value of the land. But why? I want the land, the greed of having that land. And so you fall out with your relatives over greed. Due to greed, a person forgets the favors of people. You forget what blessings people have given to you. A person begins to commit sins of backbiting, take-telling, hurting someone's feelings and blaming others without any reason. Greed raises mischief. Greed makes a person forget the difference between good and bad. Because when you're greedy, you just want what's in front of you. You don't realize whether this is good or this is bad. You just want it. You have this greed for it. And you cannot see the difference between good and bad. Greed excites a person to become cruel. Greed gets a person deprived of respecting his elders. People start disrespecting the elders when they have this greed for money. You know, there was a mubalik of Dawud Sami, a few mubaliks of Dawud Sami went to someone's house. The person, his father had passed away. His first and the father had passed away, and so they went to say afsos to the person's house. And when they got there, the person, rather than when they said, look, brother, we're very sorry that your father's passed away, the brother replied, why are you sorry? My father only left me £60,000. What is this? The greed for money, you even forget your parents. The greed for money, you even forget your mother. The greed for money, you forget all of these things. This is greed. Greed removes the passion of sympathy in your heart. When you have this greed, you're not sympathetic to people. You don't feel sorry for people. You're not willing to help people. Greed brings about disgrace and humiliation in this world and in the hereafter as well. Greed makes a person suffer from restlessness. Because a person that is greedy and he wants to earn more and more and more and more, he can't sleep because all night he's thinking, how can I make more? How can I get more? How can I get more? And this is all he's thinking about. And this greed for the dunya causes all of these problems inside you. Greed also makes a person lonely. Because when a person has this greed for the dunya, he does not care about anybody else. He doesn't want to ask about you or come see you or come see. He's not bothered about that. He's only got one thing in his life, the greed of the dunya. And so this person becomes very person. Greed destroys a person completely, and the consequences of greed are extremely horrible. Therefore, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Muslim channel, it is wise, the wise person is he who has a simple life, and he abstains from greed, and he abstains from keeping an eye on the wealth of others as well. And in this way, our life will also be spent in a peaceful way, and we will see many blessings of it. Because when you're looking at other people's wealth, when you're looking at what they've got, and then you think, well, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and you're striving for it. And when you're striving for this, then you're not striving for what you should be striving. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu ta'ala, has narrated that once Sayyidina Khab, radiallahu ta'ala, said that it is stated in the Torah that the person who digs a pit for his brother falls into himself. We see people that what they do is so that they can achieve something, they cause problems for their brothers, they cause problems for their relatives. And basically what they want to do is they want to walk over their relatives, they want to walk over their family, so that they can get to what they think is their destination. But Allah, but we are told that in this particular hadith, it said that the person, in the Torah it says that the person who digs a pit for his brother, he'll fall into the pit himself. Whatever problems you try to create for your brother, you will be creating them for yourself. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas, he said that the same kind of subject, you said that it's mentioned in the Torah, he said the same kind of subject is mentioned in the Quran. Sayyidina Ka'b asked worse, and he said that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us in Surah, part 22, Surah Al-Fatir, ayat 43. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and I give you the translation from Kamsul Iman, and the evil scheming befalls only those who scheme it. Those who scheme, those who have evil schemes, they are the ones that will fall as a result to them schemes. Sayyidina Imam Zahiri, radiallahu ta'ala, has narrated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you do not conspire against anyone and nor help or conspire against anybody, because Allah Azza wa Jalla said, and the evil scheming befalls only those who scheme it. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, remember hirs and lalj, greed, are two such words which mean the same. They're the same thing. Lalj is an Urdu word and hirs is an Arabic word. And hirs and lalj is the name of desiring something more, and it can be anything. So you can have a desire for anything. It's not just necessary money. You can have a desire for all sorts of things. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, said, the act of not being satisfied with anything and always desiring to have more of something are called greed. So if you're not satisfied with what you've got and you want more, you want more of this. You're not satisfied with your car, you want a better car. This is greed. So he goes on to say, and the one who desires to have more of something is called greedy. And he says that, so the one who desires to have more wealth is greedy for wealth. The one who decides to have more food is greedy for food. The one that desires to have greedy for good deeds, he is greedy for good deeds. And the one who increases the burden of sins is also called greedy for sins. A person who lives his life where he's committing these sins, then in essence, he is greedy for sins. On page 111 of Jannat-e-Zewar, published by Maktabat al-Madinah, the publishing department of Dawat Islam, it is written, the passion for greed exists in food, in clothes, in house, in goods, in wealth, in respect. People are greedy for respect as well. Greedy for fame. And in short, greedy of every blessing that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you a blessing, if you want more of this, I want more of this, then this is greedy. But the greed that we are going to talk about today is a bad greed. So we need to listen and understand how bad greed can be. On page 218 of Hirs, a book published by Maktabat al-Madinah, the publishing department of Dawat Islam, it is mentioned that a poor man, he had three sons. He had three sons and he worked during the day and he earned his livelihood, and whatever he earned, he gave to his family. And his family ate whatever he had. But he wasn't a rich person. So they ate simply. The food was enough, but it wasn't extravagant food. Now, one of the sons, he was not happy. He was not happy that he was, only eating simple food. So what he decided to do, he decided to make friends with somebody who was rich. And his intention was that if I make friends with someone that's rich, then I'll be eating at their house, and I'll be eating good food, and I'll be eating nice food instead of eating this simple food that I have at home. So he decided to make a friend, and he made a friend who was rich, and he was going to his house. And one day, his friends got angry with him, shouted at him, hit him, and as a result of hitting him, he lost his tooth. And when he lost his tooth, he thought to himself that, when I was at home and I was eating simple food, My father give me love. Here I'm now greedy for this thing. And as a result of this greed, what has happened? I've lost my tooth. And he realized then that he should be happy with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. So this Madini pearl that we've said, that the person who is greedy, he suffers great losses and then later on he regrets it. Greed for wealth or position or rank, whatever your status is, people are greedy for this. Remember this, Allah Azza wa Jalla will give us the amount of sustenance that has been written for us. Therefore, safety lies in that we should learn how to be content with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. The successful person is content with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. You should do shukr for whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. Whatever your situation is, our mindset should be that we should be looking and thinking, Ya Allah, Allah ka lak lak shukr, thank you Allah that you've given me this. There are people around the world, there are people close to me, there are people far to me that haven't got what I have got. Many of the people that are here today in this ijtama, they have relatives back in India and Pakistan, and you will all know people. Even if it's not in your relatives, from where you come, in your town, your village, your city, you will know people that are struggling to survive. That are struggling to survive, and yet Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us so much. Should we be not thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla that Allah, you've given us all this? Instead of being greedy for more, looking to those people that have got more than us, looking to bring people down that have more than us so that we can have this. We should do shukr, Ya Allah, you know, we're so fortunate that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us. And we say it so many times that we don't realize how lucky we are. We should do shukr for all the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us. The people that are here today in this ishtama, they are the fortunate ones. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with the ability to come to this masjid. You are the lucky ones. You should do shukr that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the tawfiq to invite you to his house. Those of us that walked in here today, we should be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives the ability to walk here. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the ability to listen to this bayan. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the ability to look at each other. These are all blessings from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And instead of being thankful, what are we? Greedy for more. I want more of this, I want more of that, I want more of this. Instead of being thankful for what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the heart of an old man, no matter how old a person gets, the heart of an old man remains young for the love of two things. Two things in his heart remain young. Love for life and love for wealth. This love, we all, obviously, as you get older, you want to live. You know, you want to live more and you live more and you still have this greed that I wish I could be young again, I wish I could be, and so you have this greed for your youth. Instead of being thankful for what Allah has given you, in the same way, no matter how old you are, those people that are greedy for wealth, they still want more wealth. No matter how old they are, no matter what they've got, you know, they might not even live long enough to spend that money, but they're still planning on making more and more money. At another place, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if the son of Adam had a gold valley, if a gold valley was given to the son of Adam, he will want two valleys. And no other thing except the earth can fill his mouth. And the one who repents in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah Azza wa Jal accepts his repentance. So even if Allah Azza wa Jal was to give a certain person a valley of gold, he would still say, you know, I want more. I've got one valley, now I want two valleys. I've got two valleys, now I want four valleys. It doesn't stop. This greed for wealth doesn't stop. You know, you've got one plot back home, you want two plots. You've got one koti back home, you want two kotis. You want one thing, you want two. You want four, one, you want eight. You've got one shop, you want two shops. Two shops, you want four shops, and so on and so on and so on. It just never stops. You know, where are you going to stop with this greed for wealth? Does it ever stop? No, it just carries on. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has guided us on greed by saying that the human greed is never satisfied. If he is given valleys full of gold, even then he will desire to have more. He did not understand it at all that he does not need wealth anymore now. Instead of taking interest in wealth, we should make it a source of our salvation by spending it in good ways. So when Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you wealth, instead of being greedy for more and more wealth, spend it so that you can benefit from that wealth. Spend it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla so that on that day when you enter that dark and lowly grave, you'll remember the wealth that you spent in a good way. You will not remember that wealth that you spent on having a faster car or a nicer car or a bigger house or nicer clothes been no benefit to you at all. On that day in that dark and lonely grave when you're on your own, any money that you spent in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, that money will come and help you. Not that money that you bought, that big koti back home. Not that money that you spent on having the best wedding in the town. They will not benefit you. What will benefit you is the money that you spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali Ramatullah Ta'ala stated that Sayyidina Hassan Basri Ramatullah Ta'ala said, by Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah makes the person fall into disgrace who respects the dirham, i.e. the wealth. It has been narrated, dirhams and dinars were made first. So Shaitan picked them up and placed them on his forehead, and then he kissed them. Shaitan picked up the dirham and dinar, he placed it on his forehead and he kissed it. And the Shaitan then said, the one who loves this is my slave. The one who loves this is my slave. Sayyidina Sumat bin Ajlan has said that dirhams and dinars are the bridles of hypocrites. They will continue to be dragged towards the hell through them. How many of us have this love for wealth? Do we not realize what we are doing? Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Yahya bin Waz, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said that dirhams are scorpions. If you do not know how to treat its poison, do not hold it. Because if it stings you, its poison will kill you. It was humbly asked to him, Azur, how can it be treated? You know, if you don't, he said that if you don't know how to use it, if you don't know how to treat the poison, it will kill you. How can it be treated? It was replied, to get them by halal means and to pay its wajib rights, I am the zakat and sadqa. So wealth, yes, but how many of us are even concerned about earning it in a halal way? Because if you earn haram way, that money, that greed that you have for the money, then that money becomes a scorpion for you. That money can sting you, that money can poison you, that money can kill you. In the same way, if you are fortunate enough to earn that money in a halal way, do we again think about the zakat that is due on our wealth? How many of us make excuses not to pay our zakat? Oh, I've got children growing up, I'll save it for when they get married. Oh, this gold is theirs, this gold is theirs, this is for this, this is for this. All these excuses are not going to wash on the day of judgment. You can make an excuse to me, you can make an excuse to your family why you do not pay zakat. Yeah. On the wealth that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon you, you do not pay the zakat, you can make an excuse to me. You can make an excuse to family and friends, but on the day of judgment, there's no excuses. You'll have no excuses on that day. Sayyidina Ala bin Ziyad, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala said, after beautifying itself so much, the world came to me in an ideal form. I said, I seek protection from Allah Azza wa Jalla from your evil. It replied, if you want to stay safe from me, hate the dirham and dinar. Because the dirham and dinar, i.e. wealth, are the things through which a person gets every type of worldly comforts. So the one who keeps himself away from both of these things, he will stay away from the world. The thing is when you're greedy for wealth, you become part of the dunya, part of that world. You want the comforts of the world, you want all of the things. And it's not haram to have the comforts of the world. But having the comforts of the world makes you forget what you should also be doing in this dunya as well. You know, this dunya is like a ship. We have to travel in this dunya. We have to. This is life. And we're traveling on a ship. And we need to get to our destination. But the dunya is all around us in the form of a sea. Yeah? Now the problem is we can travel on the ship and get to our destination. But if the water starts coming in the ship sinks. And we don't get to our destination. And that is what we are like. That we are in this dunya, we're traveling to our destination. But if the dunya gets inside us, it will stop us getting to our true destination. My dear Islam brothers, the love of wealth is a very devastating disaster. But today our society has been terribly stuck in the love of wealth. Wherever we see, we find that he is obsessed with accumulating wealth and increasing his bank balance. You know, there's a bad thought about people nowadays. That, you know, people say to us that we should have money no matter how we get it. I need money no matter how I get it, you know. And we see the youngsters today, the youth of today, they're involved. You know that unfortunately, we see that the youngsters today are struggling to get jobs. They're struggling to get on the economic ladder, so to speak. So what they think is, well, I need money no matter what. I need to earn money no matter what. And no matter what, they say, okay, we'll sell drugs. No matter what, okay, we'll sell stolen goods. No matter what, okay, we'll do this fraud. No matter what, we'll do these things. And so to have this no matter what philosophy in life, results in you committing so many sins just to have the money. And we see our youngsters, unfortunately, around us that are committing all of these sins. Our youngsters are now selling drugs. Our youngsters are on the streets doing this. We're running after these things. You see that a person, you know, we see people that are rich and instead of, we look at them and think, you know, I wish I could be rich like him. We think to ourselves, oh, I wish I could travel the world like this person. We see someone with a nice car and we say, oh, I wish I could have a car like him. We see people with, you know, big coaches back home, we say, I wish I could have a coachee like him. We see people doing all these things and we wish in our heart, we wish that we could have that. We wish we could have that things. But how many of us ponder over the righteous people? When we see a pious person, yeah, that's acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how do we look at that person? By seeing a devotee, an ashik of Rasul, crying in the fear of Allah azza wa jalla, how many will say, I wish I could cry in the fear of Allah azza wa jalla? How many, when we see people that are going to Makkah and Medina, how many of us would say to us, I wish I could go to Makkah and Medina? By seeing someone who praises Salah in the masjid, by seeing someone reading the Quran, by seeing someone getting up for tahajjud, by seeing someone doing all these pious deeds, how many of us say to us, I wish I could do that? I wish I had that inside me, that I could be like that person, that I could get what he's getting. How many of us, when we see someone reading the Quran, we think to ourselves, you know what, I wish I could read the Quran like he does on a daily basis. By seeing someone who memorizes the Quran, during the month of Ramadan, we saw our Hafiz were reading the Tarawih prayers. How many of us said, I wish I was a Hafiz. I wish I could learn the Quran by heart like this person does. By seeing people in the mahal of Dawud Islami acting upon the Madani Namaz, traveling in the Madani Kafla, thinking to ourselves, how many of us think, I wish I could do this as well? How many of us have this wish inside our heart? And this is the greed that we should have. We should have greed for good deeds. But unfortunately, we don't have greed for good deeds. We don't have greed for good deeds. We only have greed for wealth and for status, for rank, for position. This is our greed. This weekly ishtama, this is one place where you should come to, and inshallah that you can get the good deeds. Be greedy for good deeds and come here and get the good deeds. So greed for virtues, my dear Islamic brothers, brings success in this world and the hereafter. Whereas love and greed for wealth destroy the world and the hereafter both. They said that a person that runs after the dunya, he doesn't achieve the dunya and he doesn't achieve the hereafter. But a person that runs after the hereafter, invariably I have seen it through experience, that a person that runs after the hereafter, inshallah, that person will get the hereafter, but he also gets the dunya as well. Because the dunya now follows him, instead of him following the dunya. A man once came to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, and he said, oh Ruhullah, I want to stay in your company, so that I can serve you and I can gain the knowledge of Sharia. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam permitted him, and during a journey they reached a stream bank, where he said, let's have some food. He had three rotis, three pieces of bread. After both of them had eaten one piece of bread, Sayyidina Isa al-Islam went to drink water from the canal. In the meantime, the man, the third piece of bread, he hid it. And having returned after drinking the water, he noticed that the third roti had disappeared. And he said, where is the third piece of bread? The man told a lie, he said, I don't know. Sayyidina Isa al-Islam didn't say anything. After a while, he said, let's go ahead. On the way, they saw a deer with its two children, two fawns. And Sayyidina Isa al-Islam, he called one of the fawns, one of the deer, the children deer, called him, and he slaughtered it, roasted it, and ate it together. After they finished eating, he collected the bones of the fawn, and he said, Qum bi iznillah, rise from the dead by the command of Allah azza wa jal. And in no time, the dead fawn, the child of the deer, it returned to its normal gathering, and went back to his mother. But Sayyidina Isa al-Islam said to the person, I make you swear to Allah Azza wa Jalla, who has empowered me to show this miracle. Tell me the truth. Where is the third piece of bread? The man again replied, I do not know. He said, okay, let's go ahead. After they walked further, they reached a river, where the man held his hand, and they continued and they walked over the river. They didn't sink in the river. And Sayyidina Isa al-Islam again said to him, I make you swear to Allah Azza wa Jalla who empowered me to show you this miracle. Tell me the truth. Where is the third roti? The man again replied, I do not know. As they walked further, they reached a desert. And where Hazrat Isa al-Islam piled up some sand. And he piled up some sand and he addressed it, all pile of sand, change into gold by the command of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It immediately turned into gold. And Sayyidina Isa al-Islam divided the gold into three parts. And he said to the person, one part is mine, one part is yours, and one part is for that person who's taken the roti. Allahu Akbar. The person said, O Prophet of Allah, it was me who had taken the third roti. Because now he had the greed for this gold, didn't he? So he told the truth. After hearing this, he said, take the gold and you cannot stay with me. And he left all, he gave him all three piles of the gold. All three piles of this gold were now given to this person. So this person, now he wrapped all the gold in a shawl, and the man moved ahead alone. He went on his journey on his way. On the way, this person that had all of this gold in his shawl, he came across two other men. And as the two men noticed that the man had gold, in order to get all the gold, they intended to kill him. But he managed to prevent them from doing so by suggesting that he had enough gold and it could be divided into three parts. The other two people seemed to be happy with this. So they were sat there, and one of them said that what we should do is one of us should take some of the gold, go to a nearby town, yeah, get some food, come back so we can all eat it. So they agreed that two people would stay with the gold, and one person would take some of the gold to a nearby town, get some food and come back, and afterwards they would distribute the gold. Now the person, when he went to the town, and he's getting the food, this greed started to come inside him, and he thought to himself, you know, I want all of the gold. Why should I share the gold with anybody? I want all of it. So what he did is he put poison in the food. He put some poison in the food, thinking that when they go back, they'll eat the food, they'll die, I'll have all the gold. Meanwhile, the other two people that were waiting for him, they thought to themselves, why should we share it with him? Yeah? If we kill him, then instead of us having one third, we'll have half. So the person, as soon as he came back and he put the food on the floor, they killed him. They killed him and they ate the food. And then they died as well. So all three of them died for this wealth. A little time later, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam came past. And when he saw the three dead bodies, he pointed to the gold and the dead bodies of the three men. He said, see, this is the reality of this dunya. It is compulsory for you to stay away from it. So this greed for wealth resulted in all of them dying and them getting nothing. And the same way, we need to be careful what we are greedy for. And we mentioned early on the greed for food as well. You know, greed for food is also, if you're too greedy for food, it's not good for you. It can affect your health. Remember, whether it is a special food or delicious food, once they enter your stomach, you know, it all becomes mixed up and it's the same. So no matter how simple the food is or how exotic the food is, once it gets past here, inside here it's the same. It all just mixes up. But again, we want nice food, we want exotic food, we want special food. Sayyidina Yahya Muaz Razi, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala, stated, the one who has the habit of eating his fill, flesh increases inside his body, i.e. he gets fatter. The one in whose body flesh increases, he follows his desires. And the one who follows his desires, his sins increase. And the one whose sins increase, his heart becomes hard. And the one whose heart becomes hard, he falls victims to the calamities and the attractions of this world. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Ghazali Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated, eating a lot causes fitna in body parts. It arouses the desire of causing disturbance in body parts, and it causes them to commit immodest deeds. When a person eats a lot, he becomes arrogant. His eyes desire to see immodest things. His ears desire to hear evil things. His tongue wants to speak about indecent things. His private parts demand the satisfaction of lust, and his feet are keen to move towards impermissible places. On the contrary, if a person is hungry, all his body parts remain peaceful. They will neither be driven by the greed or evil, nor will they feel happy after seeing any evil. Sayyidina Jafar Rahmatullahi Ta'ala stated that when the stomach is hungry, all the other body parts are at peace. They demand nothing. However, if the stomach is full, the other body parts are inclined to committing different types of evils due to becoming hungry. My dear Islamic brothers, we need to have trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Have shukr in Allah Azza wa Jalla. Be thankful for what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given to us. Be content with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. Because otherwise it's never too much. It's never too much. So trust in what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you and do shukr for what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, contentment is the treasure that will never finish. When you're content with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, you'll be successful in this world. And they say that the richest person in the dunya, the richest person, who is the richest person in the world? The richest person in the world is he who is happy with what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him. He's the richest person in the world. That whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him, he's happy. He's the richest person in the world. Otherwise, it's never enough. It's never enough. And like me, like you, I've been to Pakistan and I've been to India and I've seen people over there. I've not been to India, I've been to Pakistan and I've seen people over there that are very, very poor. But they are happy. They're happy because they're happy with what Allah has given us. At the same time, I see people here that have huge bank balances, millions and millions of pounds in some cases, and they're unhappy. There was one Mubalik, he saw somebody sitting on a footpath and crying. And this person, he was crying, and when they went to him and they said, "What is up?" He said, "You see all these buildings here? They're all shops, a row of shops." He said, "I own all of these. All these shops are mine, all these buildings are mine. I'm a multimillionaire." And they said to him, "Why are you crying? If you're a multimillionaire, why are you crying?" And he said, "I'm crying because I have all this, but I've lost my children. My children have gone away from the Deen of Islam. I've lost that." Why? Because he was so greedy for the money that he forgot about his children. He was so greedy for making all this wealth, making all these buildings, that he forgot about this. So my dear Islam brothers and viewers of the Modern Channel, be thankful for what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, be thankful for it. Be it a little, be it a lot. You know, be it a little, be it a lot. Allah Azza wa Jalla has written, we mentioned it earlier on, that whatever rizq is written for you, it is written. You will get that. And it's up to you whether you get it by haram mean or you get it by halal mean. You will get that rizq. But what isn't written for you is whether you're going to die for iman or not. And that's what we should strive for. We should strive for working towards safeguarding our iman. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us this, that this is written for you. But we should strive for the hereafter. My dear Islam brothers, I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I send it from me, Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give me and you the tawfiq and the ability to stay away from the sins of greed. Be thankful to Allah Azza wa Jalla, whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. And if we are greedy, if we are to be greedy, then this, be greedy for good deeds. Be greedy for a good hereafter. Be greedy in helping people. Be greedy in attaining the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ameen bi jahin Nabi Ameen.
Ascending success, stay success, stay.